It is Prawns and Modern Gods. I'm John.
I'm Richard.
Hey, welcome back. It is bonus episode time. First, before we answer your questions and read your comments, follow us at Facebook and Instagram at Prawns and Modern Gods. Visit us at prawnsandmoderngods.com. Hit like, hit subscribe, do all the baby. Okay. We've got questions, comments, plus a quickie comic book NFT market watch for you today.
You've got mail.
I will get things started, Richard, with an email from Jeff Walker, who writes, while many YouTubes or advertising apps like Shortboxed and Whatnot and Who Wears and What Who's, no one seems to be discussing the impact on international buyers, as these USA services don't offer international postage. Looking at that, locking out that segment of the market. If most sellers move to these services, it could heavily reduce the number of comics available to overseas buyers like me. I'm in Perth, Australia. What's up, Perth? The main problem is that it's hard to argue against these new services, which must be really appealing to sellers in the USA. The only counter argument I could think of persuades sellers to keep listing on eBay or consignment sites is that international buyers with few options can be desperate enough or motivated enough to pay higher than average prices. Aside from suggesting Instagram as an option, do you think of any counter arguments to this trend or ways that sellers can benefit from these advances but still make their books available to a worldwide market? Is it as simple as listing in multiple places? Richard, this is a really good comment. I did not think of this.
Yeah, it's a great comment. I feel for you, people out of the United States. The market is definitely optimizing for buyers and sellers in the U.S. And I think it focuses on the issue of shipping. Shipping in the United States is a very standardized thing. If you ship via USPS and especially comic books, it boils down to a very fixed amount of shipping. When you have to ship internationally, the expense of shipping can increase exponentially, it seems. Yes. And not only that, but you have got custom forms that you have to fill out, and there's an extra layer of difficulty in it. So I think a lot of these services are optimizing for the US market, because then you can avoid those types of things. For example, I know Shortbox covers the cost of shipping as a part of their service. And I think they limit it to the US so they can have a fixed value for that shipping.
Make a profit.
And make a profit, right. Boy, you know, eBay still is, in terms of international shipping, I think the best option. I know an option, you know, we do live sales and we have international buyers, and I ship to Canada on a regular basis, and it's fairly painless. But I know we've got buyers who are in the Far East, and they have remailer services here in the States, where they'll have a U.S. post office box or U.S. Address that the product will be shipped to, and then it gets shipped from there to the actual customer. You know, that might be an option you want to look at as well, depending on how much books that you're looking to buy.
You know, I have a husband that buys a lot of collectibles from Japan, and they have services in Japan that will buy the stuff for you, box it up, and ship it to you, and save you a lot of money, as opposed to buying it from Bandai directly or whoever. I don't know who does Sailor Moon anymore. Maybe there's an option there. Jeff, the other thing is start your own company in Australia. I mean, being flippant, but that is a tough one. If you guys know anything in the comments that can help Jeff, please let him know.
And he does bring up a point, you know, if you're looking to target the widest market possible, you may be looking to use eBay as a platform, because eBay, you can set up international shipping. It's less painful than doing it yourself. And there's all the protections that eBay offers to both the buyer and seller. So, you know, that you're right. Maybe as if you're looking to have a broad market, eBay gives you that international option without as much difficulty.
Did you say earlier that we do live sales?
You kind of, yeah, I did.
That reminds me, tonight there is a live sale. Bronze and Modern Gods on Instagram. Tonight, Friday, November 19th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Make sure you join us on Instagram. We will see you there. Richard, what is your first piece of viewer mail for today?
My first piece of mail is from Spell It One. I'm talking about comic book burnout from our last show. I get burned out with comic collecting whenever someone says, rumored to be in the MCU. Give it a week or so and the itch will come back. Yeah, no. And this is a two-part question. One, yeah, John and I are kind of burnt out right now, but it's a temporary thing. You know, I still, on a daily basis, troll eBay looking for bargains. I, on a daily basis, on Instagram, looking at sales and looking at potential buys. I still do all that. It's not something that I see going away. It's just I don't do it to the volume that I was doing it, say, back in June right now. But we'll, you know, things go in cycles. So, and as far as, you know, talking about rumored to be in the MCU, I feel you. I mean, it seems like every single person, you know, every single character in the Marvel pantheon is just in a conga line with potential for being in the MCU. And, you know, Marvel's going to, and DC are going to play it close to the vest because they want to have that, you know, there's value in surprise. So I don't think we're going to get any real pre-announcement of these characters, but, you know, play it safe. You know, there's some characters I think are pretty safe bets, like Galactus or, Miles Morales. Other ones are kind of a stretch, you know, I don't know if you wanted to bet on some of these, you know, more off the wall characters.
I don't know if you've heard the Pet Avengers movie is coming. So make sure you stock up on the first appearance of Lockjaw.
Oh, geez.
By the way, in terms of burnout, the episode went live Wednesday. About 2 hours after the episode went live, I came home with a stack of comic books from the LCS, and the other half went, "I thought you were burned out. What happened?" That was quick. Oh,
yeah.
I guess I'm back.
Oh yeah. I mean, I got this in the mail today. I mean, you know, it's, you know, everything's in proportion, right?
It's dips and valleys. Like, yeah. I said, it's a cyclical thing. So,
right.
Meanwhile, Zofar 1001 writes, "Did you catch the VV market last Saturday following the drop of Avengers number 80? It was in maintenance mode for a good 8 to 10 hours after the drop, which absolutely killed the immediate post-sale surge. Once it came back up, commons were a base 7 gems, uncommons were about 20, and rare were about 35. Typically, even generic books are 3 times that in the first hour after reopening." Absolutely. "It seems like the smallest changes impact the market significantly. Also, I think a problem was it was Avengers number 80.
Yeah.
Who cares about the first appearance of Red Wolf? Who is picking these books? We'll talk about this more in the comic NFT watch coming up later this episode. But yeah. All right. What's your next piece of view?
My next piece is from Alechik. Bums me out to hear you're getting burned out. You guys reignited my collecting. I'm still not burned out, but it'll be sad if you aren't making videos as often."
We're not going anywhere. Stop it.
Yeah, sorry, but we did miss a couple. And we're late. We missed a bonus episode, and we were late in.
That's why it's called bonus. You don't expect it. Don't expect the bonus episodes. We're spoiling you, people.
Yeah, as we said, we're still buying comics. We're still selling comics. I'm still looking forward to going to. I'm going to see John in less than a week, coming out to California.
That's nuts.
Yeah, we're going to break bread, and then we're going to head down to San Diego and do San Diego Comic-Con.
We're going to break in and out?
Yeah.
Maybe. So, yeah, we're not going anywhere. Don't worry, guys. We're sticking around, like it or not. I have a piece of viewer mail that's really special to me. I was feeling, as I said on Wednesday, a little down, a little tired, a little burnout. And then I got this email from Amy Katz, who writes, "In August, I lost my evil Irish twin, my brother Howard. He was only 54 years old. He left me more than 80 long boxes of comic books. I found your show while I was trying to learn about comic books to handle the collection. I seem to have fallen down a rabbit hole with comic book YouTube. Anyway, something about the two of you yenting it up over comics is a balm to my broken heart. I just wanted to thank you for your show. Amy, you made me messed up more than a bit. You made me laugh. You made me almost cry. This completely removed my burnout. I'm so honored you took the time to write us. I read this and even the evil part of me that went, what are you going to do with those 80 boxes? I suppressed it. And I am really happy you wrote us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for writing us.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate us being referred as Yentas.
Now, yeah. Because
I think that is a very apt description of our attitudes.
I have no argument with that description. But seriously, on something like this, I've made it very clear to my family that when I go, don't feel the need to hold on to things. They're physical things. They're ephemeral. Make some money off me when I'm gone. And I'm glad you're doing the research. I'm glad you're enjoying and learning, hopefully, and best of luck to you. So sorry about Howard. But you know, those comic books are very special. They're a part of him. They're part of his legacy, and don't feel you have to hold on to it. He would not want you to, I'm sure. Uh-huh. But then again, you know, I don't know. Maybe he left something in his living trust saying to never sell these. But if we can help you navigate this in any way and answer any more questions for you, I'm glad you're learning. Feel free to reach back out.
Yeah, that's a huge collection. 80 long boxes is probably a daunting task. Just to look at that. And just take your time. And like John says, I don't really think he would want you to be mired down in it as a problem to yourself. Pick one book that means something to you and put it aside, and the rest of them, you know, sell them, give the money to charity, spend the money on yourself, whatever you think is best. But please don't saddle yourself with 80 long boxes of comics for the rest of your life.
Don't get ripped off, Amy. That's the other thing. Don't let yourself get ripped off. I'm glad you're doing the research. All right. Thank you again. All right. What's your next one, Richard?
My next one is from a friend of the show, Pure Comic Collector.
Yes.
Great pick on Adventure Comics number 267. I just picked up this issue a few weeks ago in a solid 3.0 to 4.0 raw for about $100. That's a great price.
Yeah.
DC Silver Age is so undervalued right now. John's comment about the LOS being optimistic, LOS being Legion of Superheroes, being optimistic is absolutely true. Like Richard, I inherited an Adventure Comics run as a youth back in the 80s and enjoyed the bubblegum feel-good stories. Yes, they are. It got me into the late 80s Legion of Superheroes run by Keith Giffen.
Keith Giffen's the best, man.
Yeah. I miss the 2000s Bendis. Current Bendis is mailing it in. Good topics and picks as always. Well, thank you. Yeah, it's. I as I said in the piece, I think that there's a lot of DC Silver Age books that's just being overlooked. People are so focused on the MCU and the immediate, visceral satisfaction of watching it go up 30%, in the span of a month. They're not looking at the DC stuff because it doesn't have that same kind of impact right now. I still think DC has an opportunity to get their act together in terms of making movies and generating the same kind of hype and character interaction that the MCU has. And if so, things like this, Legion of Superheroes has a huge, huge potential. Don't pass up. And I've been guilty of this too. You go to a comic book store or show and there's 20 long boxes, and you start off with the ones that say Marvel, and then by the time you get halfway through and you get to the DC ones, you kind of like flip through every 10th one, and then you move on to the next booth. Spend some time looking at those DC books. I think you'll find some treasures in there that for a very reasonable price, and just sit on them. And I think at some point we're going to see a change in the market.
I think one thing that's hampering these values is the focus for the Warner properties. Mm-hmm. Instead of a Legion cartoon, which would be amazing, we're getting a Naomi series on the CW.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Naomi stuff? Are you holding? Are you selling? What's going on?
Oh, I've got a full run of Naomi. Yeah. Number one slab, 9.8 slab. I've been holding since it came out, actually. I'm optimistic on it. I would, you know, given my choice of having a Legion of Superheroes, you know, animated show in the Naomi live show, I take the Legion show every single time. But we'll see. It all depends on if they're going to CW it up.
The trailer looks good. Is it Riverdale? Every CW show kind of looks the same. I didn't, when Legends of Tomorrow came out, I didn't see Rip Hunter's first appearance go through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, is that Legends of Tomorrow? Is it even on still? Do we know?
It's still on.
It's going to be like Smallville, 38 seasons.
Yeah. You know, it depends on the showrunner. Can the showrunner overcome the corporate attitude towards these things, that they're basically soap operas with capes? And if that continues, it's gonna tank. But if they could find some new energy, some new direction, and someone who can milk it for the right reasons, you know, it could be good.
They've got a formula. They're sticking to it. You know, all those shows look the same. They have the same style. I was kind of hopeful when Supergirl was actually on CBS, mm-hmm. you know, that first season, that it was going to be a little different. It wasn't. The minute it came to the CW, the budget got cut in a third, and you've got all the CW-isms happening.
Yeah.
I want to see a new, unique take on DC, and I'm just not seeing it.
Titans is rocking it, though. You know?
It's not on the CW.
I know. I'm saying. I mean, there are characters, there are showrunners, or people who know how to approach the subject matter as the subject matter, and not just a glorified, soap opera. You know, give me Bruce Timm. An animated show.
Hey, Doom Patrol is awesome. Doom Patrol. I never thought I'd see the sisterhood of Dada on a TV screen. I love that. So, you know, I think they kind of put more stuff on HBO Max and less on.
Oh, absolutely. HBO Max has been rocking. It's a great, great platform.
And use it. I mean, I'm waiting for the Larry David meets Naomi crossover. Curb Your Naomi or whatever.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Now use that synergy, that corporate synergy. God, that would be brutal, wouldn't it? I'm not even gonna do a Larry David impersonation. I will spare all of you. Let's move on. Fire up the modem. We haven't done one of these in a few weeks by popular demand. or if you like this segment, we're back with the comic book NFT market watch. Oh, Vivi, what are you doing? Avengers number 80, the first appearance of Red Wolf, setting the VVverse on fire. Not, I think I skipped this. I think it's safe to say you skipped it as well.
Oh, yeah. Didn't even bother.
Huge shrug. The comics got kind of pushed to the side with the designer con drops that were happening all the prior week and the Disney Golden Moments drops. Mm-hmm. But now they seem to be back. The Tuesday, Thursday schedule has been thrown out the window. Now you just really have to follow VV on Twitter if you really want to know what's going on. For example, on today's drop, as of recording this, it's the night before, but today, Friday, Fantastic Four number 5 dropped.
You know, they picked one of the three other books that I would actually pay attention to. So I'll be there. I'll buy my one copy, and
it's only 30,000.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm not going to do the aftermarket thing like I did with Ultimate Fallout 4 and got the secret rare. I'm going to, you know, whatever I get, and that's what I'm going to live with. I don't see investing hundreds of gems into the system at this point being a wise move.
It's weird. The market had a huge drop. The bottom dropped out, and then it's really come back. Certain books are back to where they were before the huge dip. If you guys are paying attention, you saw cryptocurrency as a whole took a big hit this week. Mm-hmm. The same day that they announced the Staples Center here in LA is now the crypto.com arena.
Oh,
I'm waiting for the VV Stadium or something like that. So we're not just picking on Marvel, Disney, and VV. Let's talk about DC. DC, Palm NFT, their partner in this space. Whatever happened to those DC NFTs?
That's a good question. They were horridly ugly. But
the selling point was they're going to have utility. They're going to have bonuses. You're lucky you got one when you did, because lots of stuff is coming. Crickets. I wish I had a cricket sound effect on my board. I don't. I would play it right now.
Yeah, I tell you, DC really needs somebody to hold their hand through this digital age, because they really just seem to be, you know, just not able to understand the market. VV, I have to say, the whole VV Marvel partnership, DC partner, or Disney partnership, hasn't been all roses. There's been problems. There's been hiccups.
The choices.
But, yeah, the choices are sometimes really bad, but they're constantly moving forward with this stuff, right. You know? DC, they throw this out one time, and then it's like you say, crickets. There's really no follow up, and I think the follow up, the fact that they're shown to be reinvesting into the pool is what helps keep prices up, because you know there's always new things coming out, so there's always new buyers, and that helps the economy. If you just do a one time drop, and it was a free drop at that. It really just doesn't do anything.
There's no utility behind it. You can't take it to OpenSea. You can't do anything with it. It's enclosed in this ecosystem. We don't know if there's any kind of coin behind it. What was it? I mean, it looked like a marketing thing. Like, NFTs are hot. We should do an NFT. Okay, we did an NFT. Moving on.
Right. Checking that box.
The Naomi premiere on the CW. I mean, it's like, all right, we checked that box. Let's. I have hopes there's going to be more to it, but haven't seen anything yet. Let's go back to VV for a second. Fantastic Four number 5, limited to 30,000. Uh-huh. Whereas Amazing Spider-Man 14, which came out last week, had a run of 70,000. It was the first 70,000 run. Okay. So there were a lot more. Why would they limit FF number 5 to 30K?
That's a good question. You know, I always wonder, when they do these drops, are they in some, and this is the paranoid part of me, are they signaling something in terms of the direction of either the comic books or the MCU?
Right.
You know, they did things related to Scarlet Witch, for example. Them dropping Spider-Man stuff right before the movies.
Yep, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
What if The Watcher, when the What If series premiered, the first appearance of Red Wolf, I'm sure the Red Wolf MCU movie is coming.
Oh, yeah.
Richard, you can't read too much into it.
No, I know. That's true. It's a very popular book.
Normally, I would say you're right. They've tied it in with something. Red Wolf was done because of Native American Month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Well, all right.
Yeah. I think. Well, I personally don't think there's anything, and I don't think they have an inside track to Kevin Feige. I don't think Kevin Feige is vetting these things as they come out. So I really don't think that. But you know, it does help spawn interest in characters that may show up in a comic book here shortly, for example. So maybe we'll see Dr. Doom in some comic title.
Maybe. I would be even excited for like a Machine Man number 1 or something, you know? If you're going to go into the obscurities, do something fun. Yeah, that's another question. Do the artists get royalties?
That's a very, very good question.
Is this considered a reprint? Do they get reprint royalties? I don't know. Just, asking these questions. But hey, let us know what you guys think in the comments. Meanwhile, tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific, no, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, It is the Bronze and Modern Gods live sale on Instagram. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Bronze and Modern Gods so you can come hang out with us, maybe spend a little coin. If not, we don't care. We want to see you anyway, right?
Yeah, we always have so much fun with the people who show up. So if you just got nothing to do on a Friday afternoon, Friday evening, step on by.
Maybe you'll get a theme song to your username written for you live on the fly. That tends to happen a lot.
Yeah, Turtle Toy Hunters, we're talking about you. Show up.
All right. We'll see you tonight and, of course, on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Everybody stay safe.